Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Reading from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, reading through the fourth verse of chapter 7. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made then free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being free from sin, and becoming servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Let's give thanks for this blessed way, this new and living way. This way, as the song said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that's what takes place when we are taught of God and obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered us, both by the Word and Spirit, and all because of Christ. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, thy giving him, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us to know who was given, even thine own beloved Son, in whom thou wast well pleased. And we pray, Father, in his name, that thou wilt now teach us with thy Word and Spirit. We pray that we might have thy Spirit in a measure needed to revive the church, as in a great awakening, when one could say that thou didst begin in an extraordinary way to work amongst them. And we pray for such an awakening today, for such a mighty outpouring of thy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were revived by that Spirit, and many were awakened and saved. And we pray for such a time again in the church and in our homes and in the nation. We pray it, Father, for thy glory. We pray it for the good of the church, for the blessing of both time and eternity, how we need it in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, and our nation so desperate as we are turning away from thee and making evidences of a reprobate mind. We pray, Father, for a restraint while it is taking place as it is, but above all, that the church might be made a salt and a light in the nation again, and bring thy word, bring that whole counsel, calling the nation to repentance, calling it to faith and obedience. We pray, Father, for our homes especially, that thou wilt so work in them to establish them, that they might continue, that they might begin rightly, ones that are broken even in the present time might be healed. We pray especially for the children of the broken homes, that thou would guide and direct them. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray for those in hunger and homelessness, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, and the many other calamities that there are that have suffered in nature from earthquake and fire and wind and flood and all these calamities, those in drought and hunger. We pray, Father, especially for the women that are slaves to the Islamic masters. Many of them have had their husbands killed, and now they are the slaves, they and their children. We pray for them, especially that they might come to know thee and have peace in the heart, and they might be a witness to others. We pray for, again, light on this word, and that it may be accompanied with thy Spirit. We pray that wherever thy word is known, that it may be used to revive the church and awaken and save many in the world. We pray, Father, that also there might be labors called to make that word known throughout the whole world, and that those that have never heard it might soon hear it. We pray for other needs that there are in nature and blessing, the temporal and the eternal, all through Christ, in whose name we do give thanks. Amen. As we continue to study these words here, we considered last week the 17th verse, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." We might say that that had its beginning in the description that Paul gives in Romans chapter 3, where we read, verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, that saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." That's where God brings sinners to the end of themselves. Guilty before God. Every mouth stopped. Nothing more to say. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Declaring plainly that therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sadly, many change their ways and think that's sufficient, and saved by the law, saved by doing better. But if we teach the law rightly, and fully, as Paul learned it, and as we'll see further in the 7th chapter, then we know that by the law is the knowledge of sin, not of righteousness in ourselves. God's righteous ways are stated, as Paul also said in that 7th chapter, the law is just and holy and good, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But when we are taught in that way, then we have the wonderful words that follow. 21st verse in 3rd chapter. But now, at the end of learning our guilt, at the end of having our mouth stopped, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the wonderful description, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the amazing grace that we sang of. And that's what takes place, and that's what Paul is here speaking of when he says in the 17th verse of chapter 6, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. They had learned it, became guilty. Their mouth was stopped, obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, both repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. That was delivered, and that must be delivered. Paul said he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, and he summed it up when he had that last visit to the church at Ephesus, recorded in Acts chapter 20, that it was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that comes the obedience that is here described in the 6th chapter, and which he calls us to further. He is referring to the beginning, but also the continuing, which is sanctification. We read in verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. They were the servants of sin. They were like David in the horrible pit, had their feet placed on the rock, Christ. And from that, they could become servants of righteousness through Christ. As we mentioned already last week, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Then in verse 19 we read, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul is calling them to obedience, calling them to holiness, righteousness. And then describing again the past, verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. In our natural state, there is none righteous, no, not one. We may have an appearance of righteousness before people. We may have a washing of the outside of the cup, but we are not righteous. And remember again, going back to verse 17, you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Not just the mind, not just in outward ways, but from the heart. Paul writes later in this same letter, verse chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm afraid there are many people that believe with the mind, but not with the heart. And that's why, as God described Israel, he could say, with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. We can teach children in the mind, and they can learn many things. They can learn right answers to the questions from the Bible. We call it catechism, sometimes in Sunday school, all rightly in a historic faith. But that does not mean that they have believed with the heart unto salvation. That must come as we read in the 3rd chapter. All the world become guilty before God. We don't just think we have to be better. There's nothing to start with, nothing to be made better. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. None. Only when we have a new beginning in Christ, as we read in the middle part of this sixth chapter, verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we've died to all hope in self, died, and as Paul writes earlier in the chapter, buried with him by baptism, and then rising to newness of life, as baptism pictures that so wonderfully. But the last part of the eighth verse, if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, not just in heaven, but the beginning here. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As soon as there is conversion, repentance, salvation, that has its beginning in time, the beginning of eternal life, which never ends. But it does have a beginning. And that beginning is, as we read in the third chapter, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, when that is given to us, a pardon, forgiveness, reconciliation. All of that has its beginning of eternal life in us, in our hearts. And that's what Paul is saying. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And we must get back to sound doctrine and conversion and salvation and repentance and a true and saving faith. Yes, just like circumcision, there can be a circumcision outward and there can be a faith, as I mentioned already, historic faith, believing all the historic facts, but not believing it to the saving of the soul, not believing it as was sung. Listen to that second stanza again. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and grace my fears relieved. We fear God's wrath because of our sin, children of wrath even as others, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The hour I first believed. Do you know that hour? Do you know that beginning? That's what Paul is mentioning when he says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. First, we have to believe God's wrath that we're lost because of our sin. That comes by believing, and it's a way of repentance. And then, believing through Christ, deliverance, forgiveness, reconciliation, pardon, adoption, all the blessings. And believing that God calls us, as Paul here describes, to sanctification. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We're talking about eternal life by faith through Christ. But do we know that first of all, we had the way of death? I intended to mention the last verse last week, but time went faster than I did. But let me mention it now in case time again goes so fast. For the wages of sin is death. We've earned them. We read from that third chapter, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin isn't just something that we do wrong before other people. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. We're here to give God glory. And we all come short, everyone. None of us do what we're created to do, put on this earth for the glory of God. And we come short of it. We are servants of sin, free from righteousness, as we read here in Romans 6, verse 20. And then again, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? When we learn it, we think, how could I have done it? How foolish I was, how wrong I was, how blind I was. But there is repentance and forgiveness. It is a way of death, and we learn it. We are on the road to hell, eternal death, until we're taken off and put in the new and living way in Christ. And that is mentioned here in the 22nd verse, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And then the sum of it all. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not in what we have done, not by the works of the law, but a gift of God. Totally a gift. And not only a gift that we earn or that we have because we're willing to receive it, we also have to learn not only our guilt before the law, but our guilt in regard to the gospel. God tells us by the pen of the psalmist, and also by Paul repeating the words of the psalmist in this third chapter, describing all of us. Are we better than they? Speaking of others, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That is by the law. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. We don't understand the ways of God. We have to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it as righteous, as good, as wise. As Paul writes to the church at Rome, to the unbelieving it is foolishness, even the preaching. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. By the preaching as well, God saves us. He calls us to himself. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to faith. He calls us to come to him. You weary and heavy laden. And we see that as foolishness. God said so. And if you don't believe it, then you haven't experienced your sin. And you may say, oh, I believe it. But are you sure it's not just a historic faith? Without repentance, without coming as a lost sinner. Paul goes on here, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh God. None that seeketh God. And that's the way of the gospel. Isaiah is very plain in Isaiah 53, that wonderful chapter of the suffering, the death of Christ. By his stripes we are healed. But the first part of that chapter is, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. That's the same truth. That's the way of repentance in the first part of Isaiah 53. Despised and rejected of men. No beauty that we should desire him. That's what Paul is talking about when he says, there is none that seeketh after God. They don't see God's Son as beautiful, wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is despised and rejected of men. That's why he was crucified, and not just by others, by us, you and I, if we had been there. And God even showed me one night before he gave me assurance of salvation that I could stand before that cross and say, crucify him, crucify him. He's the one that humbles us from our hypocrisy, from our pride, from our self-righteousness, and especially when we are in the church. It's not easy to be brought up and to memorize the scripture, to say we believe the scripture, to commemorate the things of Christ historically, and then to learn we're lost. Paul had to learn that. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, according to the law, blameless. And then, all those things that he had, I count but dung, that I may win Christ. Christ is the new and living way. our way is not the right way. And listen again. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And then he repeats it again, the second time. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In the 10th verse, and again in the 12th verse, he describes the different sins that we are guilty of, beginning with Romans chapter 3. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in the way of peace they have not known. All of that is our life in the beginning. Our way that we earn the wages of sin, which is death. Paul shows the difference. Again, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That's our old way, our natural way. Then verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Once again, as we saw in the third chapter, but now, there was the beginning with Christ. Here it is the description of sanctification. But now being made free from sin and becoming the servants to God. Yes, that's sanctification. Romans 5:1 talks about justification, being justified by faith, all because of Christ. And here it is, Christ working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, for his glory, and for our present and eternal good. And oh, how we need it more in the church, how we need it in reviving, how we need it as Christ had to reprove 5 of the 7 churches in Asia, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. They had to be called to repentance. The church at Corinth, how it repented, and how we need it today. We need it so the church again will be a salt and a light, so we'll recognize the terrible sins that we're guilty of. We deny God as creator. We deny the holy commandment, thou shalt not murder. We murder our babies. And we break our homes. And we leave our children terrible. I just heard this week of a home that was broken. Thankfully, one of the daughters came to know the Lord. The other two in that family became bitter. Didn't want anything to do with God because of a broken home. What a terrible thing that will be now and on the day of judgment. How we need to repent. In the church, in our homes, and then the nation can follow. We must go first. Listen to the third stanza of the song. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Thank the Lord.
To God.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.